Send a movie idea.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Dream Factory, a weekly podcast where we pit your movie ideas against our substantially superior cinematic masterpieces. The rules are simple. We can discuss as many ideas as we like, but only one can be taken to the next stage, where it will replace whatever they're currently pumping out of the Hubble telescope and become the first sound alien life forms here from Earth. I'm Joel, a man who puts the gas in orgasm, and across from me is John, a man who has used Elnett hairspray since age 3. Hello, John.
Elnett, isn't that the baddie in the Terminator films?
Is it? Elnett, is that, it's the thin gold hairspray bottle. You must use hairspray, look at it. You must do.
I use clay. Actual clay.
Real?
I make a bowl, pop it on my head.
Pop it on your head, nice.
Well, I mean, it's not a bowl cut, but it's not a million miles away.
It's quite a beast, your hair, isn't it?
It's like classic Bieber through a hedge.
It's Bieber post-scandal.
Post-scandal?
Yeah, so like he's been caught in one of his scandals.
Oh.
So it's drugs, spitting, monkey. All things that have happened or he's been involved in. Google any of those. Google the monkey thing. Mental. Genuinely mental.
Well, for the sake of those who are too lazy to Google, can you...
I'm not really sure he bought someone a monkey or he abandoned a monkey. I don't want to get too much into it. It happened in Germany. I don't know the details. Google it. Also, I don't really want to say the details. I don't want to speculate too much because I imagine by a whisker, his legal team is better funded than ours. Because ours is me. And I don't really know what liable is.
How's that
is.
Evening course going anyway?
I stopped going. I used the money you gave me for some crisps.
I did think 75p for a legal course is pretty good stuff.
I don't know why I didn't ask for more. I'm such an idiot. So yeah, that's that. Google, Bieber and monkeys. But that's not the point. That's not why we're here.
No.
That's our other podcast.
The Bieber Monkey Podcast.
The Bieber Monkey Podcast. Absolutely. It's been a real runaway success, actually. It's kind of like Serial. We've investigated really right down to the kind of the nitty gritty of this case.
And we always thought Dream Factory would be our bread and butter. And the Bieber Monkey Podcast would just be something we do for fun.
Our white dove.
Yeah, but it's the biggest podcast in the world.
It's really taken off. It's really taken off.
So I assume most of the listeners listening to this are only listening because they've heard us on the Bieber Monkey Podcast.
Absolutely, and it kind of in the world of true crime and podcasting, it really does go S Town Serial, Bieber Monkey Podcast, and they're in ascending order in terms of reviews, listener figures, production quality, and importance of the case.
Well, because everyone thought, like, Serial came along and it changed the landscape of podcasting. My Dad Wrote a Porno came along. It changed the... But no one was ready for Bieber Monkey Podcast.
No, no one was ready for it. No one saw it coming.
Thanks to Bieber Monkey Podcast, podcasting is bigger than cinema, TV and radio put together.
Absolutely. And what was really amazing was your commitment to becoming a monkey.
Well, I had to work out how the crime happened.
Yeah.
You put yourself in the mind of Bieber. What was left?
John was so convincing that Justin Bieber actually tried to adopt him at one point.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that was pretty libel free. The edit will certainly be libel free, so that's fine, isn't it?
The edit? Are you saying that I have to edit everything you said?
Let's say.
So the listener, because I probably edited it all out, all of the allegations that Joel just... There's about 15 minutes of Joel just saying things that Bieber apparently did that I've had to take out.
Things that people aren't ready to hear. But I need a forum.
Well, whilst investigating the Bieber Monkey podcast, you've discovered a lot more stuff that Bieber... Mostly animal-based adoption crimes.
I mean, look. You can edit it out of here all you like. All I'm saying is, wait for my TED talk. It's a TEDx talk. I won't lie to you. Which I think a TEDx talk is just one you can do off your own back. Is that right?
Yeah, people go, oh, I did a TED talk. And then someone will go, you did a TEDx talk.
Yeah.
Like it's a real slur.
Yeah. I think TED talks you get invited to do, TEDx talks. You can just sort of shout at people in a park and call it a TEDx talk.
We should
or at least
do
I have.
You like go, you walk over to people having a picnic and you go, you're probably wondering why you're all here today. Today I'm going to talk to you about Bieber Monkey.
I'm going to change your life in 15 minutes.
I've always thought that life-changing thing is like a bit of an odd one. When they go, oh yeah, how was the film? It was life-changing. Well, I mean, you spent an hour and a half in a room that you wouldn't have otherwise, so that changed your life to that extent.
So you think everything you do is
life-changing?
Everything
you do is life-changing.
Jam on toast this morning changed my life.
Yeah, it did.
Because I won't die.
It provided me with some sugar and energy.
Yeah.
And maybe that...
But, I mean, it kind of strips away things that you would actually consider genuinely life-changing, though, doesn't it? Because what do you describe those as? You can't go, that cup of tea was life-changing. And then also, that skydive was life-changing.
Yeah. I think...
Because your life being changed all the time, mate. Spoiler alert, your life isn't the same constantly. Yours is as near to that as possible, but your life isn't always the same.
It's weird, because all the people that I've tried to explain this to, particularly those... When I tell them just after they've told me about how life-changing, you know, their first child was.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, everything's life-changing, mate. Fuck off.
Get over it. Stop showing me those photos. I won't hold it.
We should make some films.
Let's do it. Hit me with one.
So Hyun Jarrus would like to suggest...
Who?
Hyun Jarrus. I think it's Dutch. Would like to suggest Bieber Monkey, the movie. No.
Weird. Don't mention that, because we are in talks with some production companies. We don't want to jeopardise it.
Yeah.
Netflix, 10-part documentary.
Bieber Monkey. Right, Daryl Smith. Batman versus Superman versus Alien versus Predator versus Freddy versus Jason.
Right, there's a lot going on there. But 10, 15 years ago, you'd have said that's too many characters on the screen. Avengers movies have knocked it out of the park, right? You can basically now have as many characters on the screen as you like.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
This is a pathetic six.
Before the year 2000, John.
Yeah.
It was believed in Hollywood that more than four characters would confuse the average human brain. Think about it.
We're so dumb.
Think about it. Name me a film pre-2000 with more than four main characters. You can't? No, you can't. So there aren't any. End of.
Yeah.
You're thinking Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's only four characters in that. Name the others. You can't. Anyway, I think that might be post-2000.
Are you suggesting...
The real watershed moment.
You know that they're making a new Ocean's film with an all-female cast and it's called Ocean's 8. Are you suggesting that they think people have dumbed down so they need less characters? So by the end, it'll be Ocean.
It'll just be Ocean. I was also thinking 12 Angry Men was a thing.
Yeah.
But that's actually just three sets of four. It's quite clever what they did there. Yeah, so now we can have as many main characters as we like on screen. It's absolutely fine. The next Avengers film, everyone's in it. Like, everyone in Marvel is in it.
Yeah.
Apart from the ones they don't own. So, Guardians of the Galaxy are going to rock up. Thor's there. The whole gang are there. Spider-Man's going to be there. It's going to be ridiculous. But I'm sure they'll manage it.
Yeah.
So this doesn't even seem like a fucking challenge. What is it? Like six guys?
Yeah.
That's like average stuff this day. That's, if anything, that's not enough.
Yeah.
What are the other verses?
Kramer maybe? Versus Kramer.
Yeah.
Which is there. I think it's like a legal marital dispute.
So read it to me again, but with Kramer versus Kramer in it.
Batman versus Superman versus Alien versus Predator versus Freddy versus Jason versus Kramer versus Kramer.
Now we've got a film! Excellent. So, courtroom drama.
Yeah, because Batman versus Superman, actually, like, the thing that they tried to do was in the Man of Steel movie... A lot of the criticism placed against that was the fact that it was a 45-minute two men throwing each other against buildings.
Not enough nuance.
And so the beginning of Batman vs. Superman, they kind of place Bruce Willis within the kind of debris of what's happening when these two are fighting each other to give you kind of a perspective. Because lots of people, basically the general idea is that there's just this mindless violence and no one actually has any consideration mm-hmm. for who does. And actually, I read an article recently about the fact that Marvel films, the body count in Marvel films are huge. And these are essentially kids' films.
Yeah,
it's kind
true.
Of mad. So yeah, maybe it is a courtroom drama where we talk about the amount of people who die at the hands of these guys. Or it's a really, really gritty courtroom drama. We actually, the protagonist is the judge. And okay. these are actually four separate legal cases.
Amazing.
That he's
yes.
proceeding over nice. The course of... It's like a biopic, and the judge is like, well, I guess you could really kind of section my life off into four separate legal cases that really, really yep. changed my life.
Amazing.
More than the toast I had this morning. Batman v Superman.
That is the case, as we just said, of who is responsible for all of the destruction that happens in that movie.
Alien versus Predator.
Who has custody of Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Freddy versus Jason.
Something about dream ownership? I don't really know.
I don't think...
Who's Jason?
Jason's the hockey mask wearing one. I think it might be Halloween.
Friday the 13th? No, Friday the 13th. Halloween's Mike Myers, which is too confusing. Isn't it?
They use it as a joke, don't they? In what's it called? Baby Driver.
Yeah, yeah, they do. But it's generally something I got confused growing up with. It's similar to me. So it's almost as though my brain isn't able to process that it's possible for there to be two people with the same name. So the whole Steve McQueen thing.
Yes.
I wasn't aware there were two Steve McQueens.
So long dead Hollywood actor.
Yeah, so I thought he directed 12 Years a Slave.
Became a British guy making great films.
I'd never seen Steve McQueen, the director.
Okay.
And so I assumed that the man from The Great Escape directed 12 Years a Slave. And I think
and
that's
shame.
Fine. Pardon?
And Shame.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fassbender's Willy movie, that's all I know.
And I just thought, but I thought Clint Eastwood did it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I
kind of makes sense, right?
Ish.
And
it's just weird how obsessed with British and Irish culture he became.
And I thought Mike Myers did some...
Murdering.
Some serious... I didn't know that a character was called Mike Myers. So I thought Mike Myers was just in the Friday the 13th movies. No, Halloween movies. Yeah, so it just confuses me. And when people talk about wearing a Mike Myers mask, I just always imagine Austin Powers.
So I've got this issue personally with... I don't like horror films. I'm not big on 80s action films, which is like where a lot of people think, oh, if you're a film fan, you have to have watched all good horror films and all 80s action films. And so they think that I know nothing about cinema, and this doesn't help. Because this is... You've got two 80s action films and two classic... like slasher horror films.
Yeah.
So I have no idea what's going on. I can tell you what's happening in Batman v Superman, but the rest, and Kramer versus Kramer, but these guys...
Nice. Well, the judge is telling the story anyway. Yeah. I think we've covered that off pretty nicely. It's a biopic from the judge. He's going from case to case.
I'd love to be on a fly on the wall on the Alien versus Predator case, though, because I'm not sure that they have a really specific grasp on the English language. So that will really... make for
some sort of translator. They figure it out. I'd like to see the sketches from that courtroom.
The alien keeps eating her translators.
Good fun. Next film
from Steve Lowe, Crouching Tiger, Pete's Dragon.
Nice. Okay.
Oscar winning. Oh, go on. Yeah, you saw the recent one.
I cried.
Were you hungover?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
I think I was.
Well,
so,
actually, can I just clarify? There's nothing wrong with crying. I'm not saying you have to be hungover to cry. I'm just saying. The fact you cried at a Disney film makes me think you were probably hungover.
So, in my last job, I worked in children's radio. And one of the perks of the job was going to screenings for every kid's film. And they're on a Sunday morning, always. You ever been to one?
No.
10 a.m, Sunday morning, free breakfast, tea and coffee, sit and watch the film. It's actually, like, an amazing way to spend your Sunday. It would also mean, quite often, the Saturday night before, I had a few shandies. So I'm quite raw and emotional the next day. So I have cried, like, in the space of a year at all the kids' films, like Kubo and the Two Strings, Peach Dragon, the other ones that came out that year. I'm just a little weepy man.
And you don't think you're a crier? You don't think it's just because...
Films do get me occasionally, but I can't imagine another context I'd watch Peach Dragon and really weep. But I was probably, like, floods.
Peach Dragon missed me both times. So yeah. I don't know the plot entirely, but I know that Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon is like, you know, Oscar-winning martial arts film, beautiful, people defying the laws of physics.
Yeah.
To fight.
P Peach Dragon.
Yeah.
Lad is with his mum and dad. They have a car crash. They both die. This happens in the first scene, kids' film. Pete ends up in the forest where he finds a dragon and they grow up together. And then you have the inevitable like deforestation and man like breaking them up and that sort of stuff. So somehow they have to combine.
There are definitely fight sequences in forests, so maybe they're fighting the machine men.
Okay, nice. Maybe so they come to the rescue.
The people from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yeah, they train Pete in the arts, the martial arts.
On like running on leaves and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Which one's that? Jiu-jitsu or? I mean, what belt? What colour belt is that when you can
brown
run on
belt,
leaves?
Brown. You don't want to know what you can do for black belt.
What can you do?
Run on
air.
Air. Probably, yeah. Let's be fair. Because those leaves aren't holding you up much, but they're just a little bit. They're giving you a little bit of push.
Something
push,
there, yeah.
And then you can fly, basically, once your black belt in. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, martial arts. So I assume this is all a metaphor and stuff. The dragon's not real.
No, the dragon exists.
Oh.
Yeah, the dragon exists, yeah. It's an actual dragon.
Like a fire-breathing...
Yeah, like a real dragon. Yeah, yeah.
And it can talk?
No.
So why are they friends? That's a bit speciesist.
Yeah, isn't it a bit speciesist? And also, you've kind of... there's a universal language there of love.
Yeah, I mean...
Hence Weepy Joel. And also, the free pastries were sensational.
Oh, really? Yeah, top pastry.
You can. The thing about screenings is you can judge how good or bad the film's going to be by how much free stuff there is in the foyer. That's the thing, isn't it?
I guess. That's the theory. They're buying you.
Pardon?
They're buying
That's
you.
The theory, yeah. But it kind of goes out the windows of kid films because there's always kids there to entertain. Which also normally means that I'm like elbows out trying to get to a desk so I can build my own mask. Just sit in the film with the big mask I made. Yeah.
Right, should we move on to another one?
Yes, please.
What about Heather Ann with, weirdly, kind of vaguely relevant to what we were talking about earlier, 12 Angry Men in Black?
Now we're talking. This is it. This is what the film I was born to make. I'll tell you why. I've seen both films. I can recall both films pretty well. I'm sat here thinking about when I watched Peach Dragon, I'm hungover, and the dragon was definitely real. But beyond that, I don't really remember it too much. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, I literally just remember them dancing on leaves. Men in Black, I can pretty much remember start to finish.
Perfect.
12 Angry Men, I can remember start to finish. Not difficult, they're in a room.
Yeah.
The whole film. It's a classic, right? It's a great film.
But as we discussed earlier, four people at a time.
Yeah.
In the shot that you would only... Watch it again. Watch it back.
Yeah.
We're not wasting your time.
See if you can count 12.
There's only four in this. There's only four in the room at any one time.
Absolutely, absolutely, as it should be.
imagine if we started like a what do they call them? Theories.
Conspiracy theory.
A conspiracy theory that up until the 80s there was only ever four people on screen at any one time.
So it's not a conspiracy theory, mate. The evidence is there. So, 12 Angry Men in Black. What are you thinking? Are you thinking that the Men in Black are in a room for the duration of a film like this, presiding over something?
Yeah.
Or have they got 12 new recruits in and they're pissed off about something alien-related and they're out there trying to fight it?
Well, I think we should exercise both ideas because I really like the first idea, but I'm not sure whether we can sit here discussing the idea of one person trying to convince 11 other people that something is or isn't the case.
Yeah, Will Smith's got a... talk round 11 other recruits
who think that an alien committed a crime when actually it was a human.
Yeah.
Right? Something like that. I much prefer the more literal thing that I think we've got to do, which is... Well, because the whole Men in Black thing is they recruited Will Smith because he was like a skillful youth.
Yeah.
But, you know, skilled youths, as another stereotype, quite... angry, they're angsty teenagers, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's definitely something there.
So what happens, John? I'll take what you just said and I'll ignore it. What happens is this. Tommy Lee Jones is back in the fold.
Yeah.
Because he sort of comes back from Men in Black 3. He's back in the fold. And they're like, look, you can retire, but we need you to train 11 new recruits. Will Smith's already there. So they go out. Excellent. And these are always the best films with an entourage in. The best bit is always getting the band together, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So we get these 11 recruits. They're being trained up. They're loving Tommy Lee Jones. Like, he's amazing. He's the best boss they've ever had. And he's showing them the ropes. You know, he's burning their fingerprints off, but they don't mind it. But then they enjoy it. They'll do it for Tommy. Yeah. They love Tommy. Everyone there loves Tommy. Aliens invade Earth straight away. Shoot Tommy in the head. Bang.
Fuck.
Dead. So the hero's gone. Will has to come out of his office job because he's high up in the Men in Black ranks now.
He's a pencil pusher.
He's a pencil pusher, yeah. He's brought out of there. He gets the 11 new recruits. They're all pissed off because Tommy's dead.
Yeah.
They have to fight the alien race.
I like this. It's also a flip on what you'd expect. I would have expected Tommy Lee Jones to be the one getting more senior and being a pencil pusher and Will Smith still being out in the action and lovable. So I quite like that. You've kind of flipped it on its head.
It's pretty clever what I did there, wasn't it?
You didn't mean to.
No, I didn't really think about it. What will happen is I'll just sort of speak and I'll look at the recording and think, that's probably enough time for this one. And then just stop speaking. Little insight there.
There we go. Should we have one more from people?
Yeah, hit me with it.
What about this one from Rachel? Tom Cruise is a dentist working on patients with poor dental health. Mission Impossible.
So I like it. Now, there's something good in this because Tom Cruise, you look at him, right? You see those pearly whites. You think perfect, but they're not, are they? He's got a middle tooth and it's so weird. So I don't know if people know this, but Tom Cruise's teeth aren't symmetrical.
No, they are symmetrical. They're perfectly symmetrical, which is weird.
No, they're not, are they? Because the perfect symmetrical set of teeth would be the same either side.
Sorry, yeah.
And the front two teeth, the line, kind of, you want it to be sort of in the line with your nose,
center,
right?
Yeah.
Look at a picture of Tom Cruise. He's just got one middle tooth in the middle where you'd normally have the front two. And it's fucking weird. And when you see it, you can never unsee it. And that is the weirdest thing about Tom Cruise.
We broke it wide open. Also, on this, Mission Impossible, I think there has to be... Tom Cruise is very good at playing a man out of his depth, who then becomes a hero. What more perfect a man out of his depth than a dentist who has to defuse a bomb in someone's mouth?
Nice, nice. So how's the bomb got into the mouth? And where are they? I'm assuming they're not in the dentist surgery. And also, you've got a really nice introduction there where it's like Tom Cruise being cool Tom Cruise. He's a really successful high-flying dentist. You get to see him going into work, being amazing at being a dentist. But yeah, then he gets caught up. Maybe like his wife has a job working for the Secret Service or something like that. She's kidnapped.
Yeah.
He has to employ every one of his dentistry skills that you've seen in the first 15 minutes in order to save her.
Or, alternatively, he's got messed up with some wrong people, and I'm not sure how. I haven't worked that bit out, but there's something quite jigsaw-y about it. So he basically gets knocked on the back of the head, wakes up, and he's in basically a building where he has to use all his dentistry skills to do stuff like defuse bombs in people's mouths. Maybe they're people he loves. This is quite brutal.
Yeah, I'm loving that. That's great. I think a mob boss comes into his surgery.
Yeah,
and he works on him, but then the mob boss takes a phone call, and the mob boss thinks there's like patient doctor confidentiality, but Tom Cruise goes to the police,
and he also takes a call whilst Tom Cruise is drilling.
Breaks
one of his fillings,
so he's even more pissed off.
Toothache.
Yeah,
you don't want to give a mob boss toothache.
The last person you want to give toothache is a mob boss. Trust me.
Mission Impossible.
Awesome.
Take it on.
Now, have you brought something to the table?
I
brought something to the table. Do you want to hear mine?
Yeah.
The real issue here is that I sort of come up with a title and then sort of let it lie. So I'm just going to say some words and I would like your reaction, please.
Okay.
A Clockwork Orange is the New Black.
Yeah. I've seen A Clockwork Orange. Mm-hmm. I've not seen Orange is the New Black.
Lady Prism.
Is that what they call it?
It's set in a female prison, right? I've seen a few episodes.
Yeah.
Everyone loves it. A Clockwork Orange... Everyone loves it. All female Clockwork Orange. Surely that's where we're headed here.
So they're in a women's prison.
No, no, they're not. They're not. It's just an all female Clockwork Orange.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they get arrested at the end.
And they go to prison, and that's where Orange is the New Black starts.
Recently, there was like this weird double backlash with the they announced a female remake of Lord of the Flies when I had already come up with the perfect remake of Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they did that.
Annoying. It's weird that you weren't consulted.
And it was interesting because the idea of Lord of the Flies is about kind of like young masculinity and how it can be toxic. So changing the gender and keeping the plot exactly the same upset, like annoyed people who were like, oh, it's PC gone mad making a female version of the thing. Mm-hmm. But it also annoyed people on the other side of the argument, because they were saying, well, no, this is actually a film about it issues with masculinity.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So then to make it women takes that message away.
Yeah.
So it's, there was an interesting double argument. And I don't know whether A Clockwork Orange is about masculine, toxic masculinity. And I think it is a little bit.
So will we
get in trouble? I think...
Oh, maybe we will get in trouble with the film guys.
So... It's not going to win. That's all I'm saying. I liked the pun.
Yeah. Do you know what? I don't ever think past the pun. When I'm thinking of the puns, John, I'm not thinking of the greater political context.
Yeah. So what you should do, pun, greater political context.
Yeah.
Can it make a movie?
Yeah. Okay. So next time.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For me?
Mm-hmm.
So do you remember the film Watchmen?
I do.
Based on the graphic novel that is apparently infinitely superior. I haven't read it, so I can't.
It's supposed to be like the best, isn't it? Or it's listed in like the best books ever, not even the best graphic novels ever.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
There is a character called Dr. Manhattan.
Yes.
And he essentially is like all powerful, like he knows the past and the future. He like has control over everything. Like it's stupid levels of power.
Yeah, yeah,
post
yeah, yeah,
Superman
yeah.
levels.
It kind of makes the whole thing irrelevant, really, if he was to exercise any power.
Yeah. It's a bit of a weird one. And there is a sequence in there where the comedian is fighting in Vietnam and Dr. Manhattan comes and just obliterates just all the enemies.
Yeah.
Just like makes them stop existing, essentially. Yeah. What if that was a cow? Apocalypse cow.
I was kind of...
It works on levels because it's a Vietnam movie.
Yep.
I put a cow in it. And it's an apocalypse cow.
Apocalypse cow. I like it. I was actually hoping for Made in Dr. Manhattan. And Dr. Manhattan's down on his luck. And he can't find work anywhere, so he has to take up a cleaning job. But he's really fucking good at it.
He would render all jobs obsolete.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, can you clean these apartments?
I've just
cleaned the whole world.
Yeah.
Next.
But there's also a love story going on with Jennifer Lopez.
Ah. Oh.
So it's quite nice.
And he doesn't want to do the whole click and make the whole world clean because then he'll put Jennifer Lopez out of a job.
John, he can clean the world, but he can't understand love.
He can't?
No.
It's a thing in the actual Watchmen film, isn't it?
He doesn't, exactly.
He
so
doesn't get it.
He doesn't get emotions.
Apart from when...
Because he's so logical.
When he meets J-Lo.
When he meets J-Lo, exactly.
And it all changes.
Made in Dr. Manhattan.
I prefer Made in Dr. Manhattan to...
I'm sorry to have hijacked your... Apocalypse cow.
I still like the idea of a cow running through the fields of Vietnam, big and blue.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great idea.
Did you, in Watchmen, one of the things about it is because he's just a blue being and he doesn't have clothes.
Mm.
So, like, throughout the film, he's just walking around with his knob out. His blue knob.
Yeah.
Except for when he does, like, TV appearances where he just. I always find it funny because I swear he just then opts for like a thong.
Yeah.
He's not like, I won't put on a suit.
I'm like, you know, I'll cover up the minimum I need to cover up TV appearances. So stupid.
It's like, why about being a big blue entity has made him decide I'm going to be naked?
Well, not sure. Thought, it's just hard to find anything to suit you.
Blue is a hard colour to pull off.
It really is, yeah.
It clashes with all his clothes.
Exactly. What's he wearing? It's so hard. Can't wear black shoes.
Absolutely not. And when he goes on his first date with J-Lo, he can't work out what to wear. So he opts for the thong again, yeah. But she's embarrassed.
Because it's a formal dinner with her parents. This has got legs, I'm telling you.
A rom-com with a godlike entity that doesn't understand love. It's not been done before.
No, exactly. And it's difficult to find something, a path that hasn't already been trod when it comes to rom-coms. So well done, us.
Thanks, me.
And thanks, me. Right, and that brings us to the end of our time here. As ever, there's a rap on the studio door. Someone's about to come in. And there's a blue glow outside that window, John.
I mean, Frank, I think he can walk through doors. So the fact that he's actually given us the decency to knock.
It's polite. We've had this before with Dr. Manhattan. We always try and convince him that he's actually shown up early for his booking. But obviously, he knows all things.
Has the decency to knock, but not the decency to hide his big blue cock from
Put
me.
It away! Until next time, John, a pleasure.
Pleasure.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.